ahead and open our Bibles to John, please. And when you find that, stand with me. John chapter 17. This will be our final message in chapter 17. And it'll be the final message in the discourse, the final discourse Jesus had with his disciples. So this is closing out a really important passage or portion of Scripture. And I love the way that it finishes up. John 17, verse 24. Follow along as I read out loud. The Bible says, Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I through them. This morning, my prayer is that you'll be encouraged to overcome the potential that you struggle with trust issues. And it might be there for various reasons. And my hope this morning that you'll be encouraged to overcome the trust issues that might hinder your growth. And so let's address that this morning. And let your heart be open as we deal with it, okay? Father, I pray for your help. Lord, we need you. Without you, we really don't have anything that's worthy of our trust in this world. But with you, dear Father, we confess that we have something that can be trusted. So I pray that you'd help to direct our attention to the struggle that needs to be addressed, that we might overcome and gain victory this morning through Christ. We thank you for your grace. Thank you for your touch and your word. Thank you for your blessings and the music already today, how we've been touched. I pray you'd give us, Lord, just what we need from your word, please. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can be seated. You might be able to relate with this guy. He was just too guarded to let anybody in. He viewed the world around him as hostile. He knew that people were not always kind. He had in the past people say hurtful things to him, about him, to him. Had hurtful things directed behind his back and directly to his face. So he came to the conclusion quickly that people are not to be trusted so quickly. And so he has lived his life evaluating all of his relationships based upon one of two assumptions. You are either my ally or you are my enemy. And to him, the verdict is always out on every relationship on one of those two realities. He says in his heart, well, I'm not going to open up to you until I can trust you. And you're my ally until you hurt me or cross me. And then you have shown me that you're my enemy. And I will cut you off and I will not trust you anymore. When I was in sixth grade, I asked a girl if she would be my girlfriend. Do not recommend this. Not good training, but I did. The bad thing about it is I turned around and broke up with her, like right then, because it was a game to me. But it really embarrassed her, and it hurt her. And she did not like me after that. Do you think that she would have had an easy time opening up to me later, even as a friend? Nope. And that was the kind of concern that this guy had. He was closely guarded in his heart. And with regard to all of his relationships, he had his guard up. His guard was always up, and he would ask this question, are you my friend or are you my foe? He would say things like this, listen, I'm on my own with this. I have to preserve myself. I have to protect myself. I can't just go opening up my heart and loving people without any questions asked. What if they hurt me? So maybe we can relate to him. Sometimes people are so guarded that they struggle just jumping into anything. What about salvation? The people who wonder if God can even save them. They see themselves as a sinner who sins and sins, and so after a while they wonder if God can even save them at all. I can't be saved. I can't measure up to Jesus. I can't measure up to salvation. What's the use of even trying to head down this path? I hear what you're saying, but can God really save me is the question. Now, there's two kinds of doubt as it comes to the reality of salvation. First, there's a kind of proud doubt. Back it's more than 10 years ago, probably more like 15 years ago, I had a conversation with a college student in St. Joe, and he was sort of in the realm of the intellect, and he could not get past the intellectual side of the argument about God. We're not even going to get to salvation and Jesus and dying on the cross and raising from the dead, but just the concept of the reality or the truthfulness of the Bible over against the intellect that he had in his mind. So for him, the evidence of intellect far exceeded any evidence of the spiritual. Faith was not going to be a part of what, at least in his current state, of what convinced him. He could not see how God could save anyone, nor did he see himself as somebody who needed to be saved. And so there's that doubt there that comes from that sort of proud perspective. But the second kind of doubt is a guilty kind of doubt that says, can God save me and get me all the way to heaven on his own? I mean, and I know that God's powerful, but don't I need to help out a little bit? I mean, I know God can save me, but don't I need to do something too, like to help out the process? I mean, God, he can't just like save me and then me not be a good person or do something along with it, right? That's the second kind of doubt that I think a lot of people who need to be saved fit more into that category than in the category of I don't even know if there is a God, you know. But can God save me? Do I need to be involved? And so that guard is up. People are afraid to jump into a relationship or jump into to open their heart to the truthfulness of the Bible and their need of salvation because they have that concern, that doubt that it's really going to work. That God can really save them. There are people who have trust issues because they fought and clawed and worked and struggled on their own for most of their life to get where they are. And it's like going into a company as a data entry clerk and working and clawing your way all the way to the top as an executive vice president or something like that. And how did you get that? How did you do that? How do you go from data entry to vice president? Hard work. Commitment. Hard nose. You have to have a hard nose. You know what you also have to have sometimes to get past certain levels of management is that you have to have a hard heart in some ways. So they might say, well, here's how I did it. I pulled myself up by my bootstraps and I worked my way to where I am today. And so people aren't just ready to just jump into trust of God when they've worked that hard to get where, or at least they perceive where they are today as being hard work that they did for themselves. Can God really be trusted? Will Christ be there for me? Will Christ really carry my burdens and my cares? I've had to do all of this for myself all of my life, or at least we view it that way. Can I trust God now? I'm just saying that people sometimes struggle to trust God, even to let their guard down enough to let anybody in. Trust God enough to let Him in, trust Him enough to let anyone else in. And so we stay on the outside looking in. We stay on the fringe. We don't really commit ourselves. We don't really get connected. We're just too afraid of what's going to happen if I get too involved, if I get too committed, if I open my heart too much. What is that? It's trust issues. Trust issues is not a new problem. In his book, How People Change, author Paul Tripp spoke in chapter 5 on the change that happens in the community of believers, that's the church, Here's what he said. One family spoke about this relationship, and he quoted from this family, and here's what they said. We have been welcomed by others in the church, they're saying, challenged to become more vulnerable, held up in prayer, encouraged in specific ongoing struggles, and have developed sweet friendships. And to do any of that, what did they have to do? They had to open their hearts. For these kinds of relationships to happen, they had to open their heart. And it's not easy and natural to do this. He also, the same author, spoke of an opening of a movie, and he quoted from the opening. I don't often quote from movies, but I'm quoting from a book of a guy who quoted from a movie. So, I don't know. I guess I'm winning on that one. But here's what he said. This is a quote from the main character. In my opinion, all men are islands. And now is the time to be one. 100 years ago, for instance, you had to depend upon other people. Whereas now, you see, you can make yourself a little island paradise. The sad fact is, like any island dweller, from time to time, you have to visit the mainland. Island. You know, people like living on islands sometimes, all by themselves. I'm talking about emotionally, not wanting to open up, let anyone else in. He summarized this concept by saying these things. Meaningful relationships are often avoided. They require work, sacrifice, humility, and selflessness. While the idea of loving another person taps into someone inherently, it taps into something inherently human that's in all of us, it also exposes our sinful self-centeredness. Frankly, we like living on an island sometimes, but we also like to be in charge of all the relationships that we do have. In another book titled It Takes a Church to Raise a Christian, Todd Bolsinger said this, more than any before us, an American today believes that he must write the script of his own life. And so at one level, we want relationships, but at an entirely different level, we don't want them. So this isn't a new problem, this reserved issue with trust. It's not a new problem. This has been going on for a long time. How long? All the way back to Bible times. It was a common problem, and Jesus addressed it right here in this passage. The disciples would struggle. Now, he's praying for his disciples. And he's praying because they would struggle with trust issues that would eventually hinder them from opening their heart and loving people. By the way, that's what they were called to do. This is the prime calling of the disciples. Go into the world, preach the gospel. How can you do that if you don't love people? The greatest commandment, love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. The second, like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. You cannot fulfill the commission, the calling, the drive that God has put in us as believers, or at least it ought to be there, given to us by God, to love people. The disciples would struggle with that, with trust issues, reaching people, loving people, getting the gospel to the world. And so Jesus said this, look at verse 25. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee. And these have known that thou hast sent me. So three times in one verse, Jesus refers to what the world doesn't know, what Jesus does know, and what you and I know in him. So there's a confidence. These things might be. I think. No. This is things that we know. There's a confidence there. Look what he said next, verse 26. I have declared unto them thy name. I will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. So he was encouraging them. I have known, these have known, I am in them. My love is in them. These words implied that they would struggle with these kinds of trust. Knowing that God's love is there, knowing that God is available, knowing that Jesus is in us and for us and going along together, strengthening us, holding us up, helping us to love and to take care of those times when it's hurt. He wanted them to have that confidence, but it implied that they would struggle. Can I trust Christ to be there, to carry me, to be a pillar when I go through these trials and tough times? Can I really know that He will not fail me? Will His love flow through me? Can they open their hearts to the upcoming love ministry that they were called to? I think that we struggle with trusting God sometimes because we've had one or more breaches of our trust in the past. We've been disappointed. You know what? I want to say this. I trusted you. And I can't believe you did this to me. Have you ever felt that? You ever thought it? You ever said it? Never again. That might be the temptation next. I will never trust you or people that do this to me in the same way ever again. We have these kind of experiences, and that causes us to have deep-seated trust issues with everybody. And everybody, we will go back to what we said in the beginning, goes through what that guy I was referring to, which, by the way, was a hypothetical. I wasn't talking about any of you. You might feel like I was talking about you, but I wasn't. I made him up. But sometimes we go through those kind of times when we're hurt so much, and we have trust issues that are so deep. And we wonder, can I trust God? The disciples would be tempted to try to write the script of their own lives. When they face these, do you think the disciples would have times of trust issues? Yeah. I'm not sure that you and I can even understand how much persecution and oppression they truly had as the original writers of the New Testament in the era of the Roman Empire, when believers are being crucified. And that kind of oppression there, that you would turn around and love a Roman soldier who killed your family member, you know, or was a part of that system. So they would be tempted to write the script of their own lives, dealing with the trust issues that they have their own way. Here's what Jesus said to that. Look at verse 24. I love this phrase. Right at the beginning of verse 24, look what he said. Father, I will that they also... Stop right there. Jesus said, I will that they also... Isn't that a strange way to say, start off? I will that they also... Here's what Jesus said. Jesus saying, Father, I have followed your will, and I ask that they follow my will for them. I have followed your will, and I pray that they will follow your will. I will that they... Listen, God knows that we'll be tempted to write the script of our own lives. Jesus says, Father, I pray that they will follow the script that you've designed for them. Not their script, but your script. God's will, not their will. Jesus said, I pray, Father, that they would not try to take this in their own hands, but that they would follow you and let you write the script of their life. Because if you wrote the script of your own life, it's going to lead you to major trust issues. But your trust issues will go away when you learn that you're safe in the love of Christ. Your trust issues will go away when you realize you're safe in the love of Christ. Look at verse 26. And I have declared unto them thy name, and I will declare it, that the love wherein thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. His love for you will never fail. His love for you is in you. It'll never go away. It'll never fail. It flows into us, encouraging us that we're right with God, that He will not fail us. It's only then that His love can flow out of us to the lost world. When you lean on the unfailing love of God, then you'll allow that your trust issues will go away. You're so secure in Christ. You'll become so secure in Christ that you'll open your heart. It's amazing how that works. When we become so secure in who He is in us, then who He is in us can come out of us. So there's a direct relationship between our trust issues to let others in and love and the security that we have in Christ's love. When you realize that He will never fail you, His love will never fail you. He is in you, and He can work through you. Then there's a confidence that comes along with that, a security that comes along with that, that says, you know, I can love people. I can love anybody. Because whenever those trials and hurts come, you know, the potential, you know, the thing that has happened in the past and possibly would bring that trust issues and make me reserved and pulled away and not wanting to open my heart, that I have security in Christ. He can, through Him, I know that even if somebody in here goes away and says bad things about me, that God, you're still in control, and I can trust you, and I can still open my heart and love people because I'm secure in you. That's what the disciples would need. Last time we talked about becoming a light that shines in the world, and the unity that God gives us and the love that we have for each other will make our light shine brighter. And as our light shines brighter, listen, we need to understand that more people come, the more potential to be hurt is here. And if we have trust issues, we will not be able to minister to people as God has called us to minister. Why? Because we won't let anybody in. We'll have the pretend thing going on. Jesus said, Jesus didn't have nice things to say about pretend Christians or pretend believers. You know, He called them whited sepulchers. What is that? It's like a beautifully decorated casket. That's what our bodies are. He said, we're beautifully decorated religious, but on the inside we're dead. He said, what good is that? He wants us to be full of His love and full of His grace. And so we get that kind of relationship or those kinds of relationships when we're willing to open up our heart to the people around us, and our love then can flow to them as we allow them in. But our trust issues will stop that. And your trust issues will go away when you find your security in Christ and not in the relationships of the people around you. Our security is not, it should not be found in our relationships with the people around us. Our security is found in our relationship with Christ. And guess what? He will never fail you. He will never, ever fail you. His love is, He's faithful. He'll always be there for you. He'll never leave you. He'll always love you. He'll always hold you up. And through Him, you can turn around and love other people. With a smile and joy, not worried so much about what they'll do to you. Because you're secure in Christ. You know, that fear that drives us to trust issues will hamper or hinder our growth as a church, as an individual, and as a church. In the Marines, there was a training program for commandos, and that training included cliff assaults. And so the theory was that as a commando would raid, a complex or some kind of enemy fort, they would try to do it as silently as possible and as covertly as possible. And so, and also in the times of least defense is when they would try to do that. And so they found that a lot of their attacks would come during or from cliff sides, from the water's edge and cliff sides. So they would train by firing grapnel hook up onto the land with a really thin line attached to it and pulling it until it grabbed a hold of something. And then this wiry spider-like climber guy would grab onto that little wire and climb up the side of that cliff, that little line, and climb up the side, not even sure if it's really secured onto anything. But you know what's attached to him as he goes up? A rope, a thick rope. And he goes up the side of that cliff and he gets to the top and he's just hoping the whole time, boy, I hope this holds on. And when he gets up to the top, he would then take that thick rope and secure it to something like a tree or something that wouldn't move. And then he would give two tugs on the rope, and then all the rest of the soldiers would come in on the rope that was big, thick, and strong. So the idea there is the first guy went up so that the next guys could come up with confidence. Utter confidence, security in the rope that went on before you. And that's Christ. Christ went on before you. And he carried the rope up and secured it. And so now whenever we are going into the world and we're called to go into what I would say like battle or something, and we're holding on to a rope, then we can trust that there's security in the rope that went before us, that it's secured tight, and then it's not going to let us fall. We're not in life, we are called to minister and love people. And if we have trust issues, we cannot with confidence love people. It's like trying to scale up the side of a mountain with a thin little rope. We are not going to feel safe or secure in that. God has given us everything we need so that we can, through Him, open our hearts and love people. And He can take those trust issues away so that we can do that. Well, how does He do that? Well, let me give you two things that I think we could learn from this. Number one, learn that you're safe in Christ. If you learn that you're safe in Christ, then it'll help that your trust issues will go away. What does that mean, safe in Christ? He will never fail you. And number two, with that knowledge, number two, here's what God wants you to do. Open your heart and love people. Let them in. You're safe in Christ. He will never fail you. So open your heart, let people in, and love them, and let God work through you. And if you have struggles with that one, go back to number one. Learn that you are safe in Christ. He will never fail you. So open your heart and love people. And if you struggle with that, go back to number one. Sounds like one, two, repeat. One, two, repeat, doesn't it? Learn that He'll never fail you. You're safe in Him. So open your heart and love people. And if you struggle with that, then go back and do it again, because He will never fail you. Father, this morning, it might be that someone needs to be saved. And so I pray for them that You bring conviction to their hearts. Please. If they come and turn their heart to You before it's too late, take courage. Lord, I pray for those that just have trust issues. They just don't trust people. And hurt or various things that has made it just hard to trust. God, would you help this concept to be engrafted in our hearts? That we would learn, dear Father, that we're safe in you and that you'll never fail us. And that we can open our hearts and love people and let people in. Do that in us, dear Father. It might be that this is just what someone needed today. I pray you bring that courage to them in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand.